I am a fan of Star Wars. I know that's probably not what you'd expect to hear on a Sunday morning in the pulpit, but I'm a fan of Star Wars. And actually, this past Thursday, I was in a meeting, and some people in that meeting started talking about Star Wars. And like I said, I consider myself a fan, but the details and the things that these people were talking about were way beyond anything I had known or was aware of even existed in this Star Wars universe. So I thought I was a fan, but maybe not so much. But back to Star Wars. What is the main theme of Star Wars? Good versus evil. The light side of the Force versus the dark side. Most of the main characters of the story that start off on the light side, on the good side, but then they get lured into the dark side with promises of great power. But also, once they do give in and go to the dark side, there is always an internal battle that there is still good in them, and the others are trying to get them back to the light side instead of the dark side. So that good versus evil, the light side versus the dark side, is what we are going to talk about today. So that was all. It's all I'll talk about Star Wars. I could probably go on and on, but we'll stop there. But that good versus evil, light versus darkness, is what we find in our passage in 1 John. So we're continuing in 1 John. Our text this morning is 1 John 1, verse 5, through chapter 2 and verse 6. So 1 John 1, verse 5, through 2, verse 6. I'll read that this morning. 1 John 1, verse starting in verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. And by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. The New Testament calls the Christian life a walk. If this Christian life is a walk, it must start somewhere. Like all walks we go on in our life, there's a starting point and an end point. The walk of the Christian life begins with a step of faith. Your first step on your life's journey as a believer and follower of Christ starts at your salvation, when you put your faith and trust in him who sacrificed all. This is your first step on your walk to eternity with him. Another reason the Christian life is called a walk is because walking involves progress. If we as Christians want to live a life of faith, we are supposed to advance in our walk, in our life with Christ. Just like small children who learn to walk for the first time, They will stumble and fall. And that small child must overcome difficulties and challenges as they learn to walk and be steady on their feet. So too, a Christian must learn to walk as well. But as we see in this passage of 1 John, we are not just to walk, but we are to walk in the light. We too must overcome difficulties and challenges. But unlike that small child, the difficulties and challenges we face is sin. We know as a Christian we have an enemy. We have an enemy to our Christian walk, and that enemy is sin. 9 times in this passage, John mentions sin. And John illustrates his message by using the contrast between light and darkness. God is light, and sin is darkness. We must remember when we took that first step and became a follower of Christ, we must now turn from our old nature, which has its origins in sin, and turn to our new nature, which we receive when we were born again. No amount of self-discipline, no set of man-made rules and regulations can control this old nature. Only the grace of God can enable us to put to death, as Romans 8 says, that old nature. As I said, sin is mentioned 9 times in this short section of 1 John, so it must be very important. We find a few approaches to sin in this section of Scripture. 3 approaches that we're going to look at this morning. And the first approach is we can try to cover our sins. First approach, we can try to cover our sins. 1 John 1 and verse 5 says, "This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." When we take that first step of salvation, God calls us out of darkness into his holy light. When light shines in, it reveals our true nature. God is light, and sin is darkness. Darkness and light cannot exist in the same place. If we are walking in the light, the darkness cannot be present as well. But if we are holding to sin, then the light cannot be present. There is no middle ground. There is no gray area when sin is concerned. How can we try to cover our sin as Christians? What does this look like? Well, we tell lies. We tell lies to others. Verse 6 tells us, "If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth." We want others to think that we have fellowship with him. We want our fellow church members to look at us and think how spiritual we are, so we lie. So we walk in darkness and we lie. After you lie to others long enough, you start to lie to yourself as well. Look at verse 8. It says, "If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." The problem that was once lying to others to deceive them into thinking we are walking in the light, and to deceive them into thinking we are having fellowship with Christ, now has turned, and we are deceiving ourselves. We tell ourselves we are walking in the light, even though we know we are not. Even though we know we are holding on to sin in our life. It is possible for a believer to live in sin, yet convince himself that everything is fine. Everything is fine in his relationship with the Lord. We talked about this in James, that we minimize our sin by lying to ourselves, by convincing ourselves that the sin isn't that bad. It's just a little lie. Or we compare ourselves to others and say, "At least I'm not as bad as that person. I would never think about doing something like that. But at the same time, we are living in sin, deceiving our own selves. Once we begin to lie to others, it may not be long before we actually believe our own lie. But the spiritual decline becomes even worse. The next step is trying to lie to God. And we find this in verse 10. Verse 10 says, "If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. We have made ourselves liars, and now we are trying to make God a liar. We contradict his word, which we know tells us all have sinned. We apply God's word to others, but not to ourselves. We sit in church or in a Bible study, and we are critical of other Christians and how they are living and what they are doing, but we resist applying the word to our own lives. We are deceiving ourselves. Sin has a deadly way of spreading. You can lie about your fellowship. You can lie about your nature, and you can even lie about your actions." We are talking about a dishonest life, a life that is not based in reality. It is based in sin and lies. The opposite of this type of life is a life that is real, a life that is honest. We must be honest with ourselves. We must be honest with others, and we must be honest with God. This passage is describing a dishonest life, a person who is playing a role or acting a part, but is not living a life of faith that we know we should be living. We see this in verse 6. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. We are lying if we think we can walk in darkness and light at the same time, or as he says, practice the truth. We know we can't walk in darkness and light at the same time, and the two cannot exist together. Also, we see from verse 8, verse 8 says, "If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." If we continue down this life of dishonest living and deceiving ourselves and others, we can see that the truth is not in us. Then we can also see from living this dishonest life what verse 10 tells us. Verse 10 says, "If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." We try to turn the truth into lies. At this point, John tells us his word is not in us. If we are living a lie, living this dishonest life, eventually you will lose the impact of his word. You cannot read and understand the word profitably while you are walking in darkness. I know we are talking about sin in this passage, and a person living in a life of sin and living a dishonest life. One book had this to say, and it is an important part of sin and this message of sinning. The book said this: "It's important to note that there is a difference between occasionally sinning and then repenting or turning away from that sin and moving forward in obedience to God and living in continual sin. All followers of Christ continue to battle with sin." And we talked a lot about this in James when we talked about the war that is going on inside us over our heart. The book went on to say, "We all fail sometimes, and as long as we live in these fallen bodies, we will. But continually living in sin and not turning away from it is what John is referring to here as walking in darkness. As we will see in this passage, a relationship with God demands obedience and submission to him, living a sinful lifestyle and claiming to have a relationship with God are not compatible. As I said, the contrast to walking in darkness and living a dishonest life is walking in the light. living an honest and open life. When we walk in the light, you're able to experience real life. We can have real relationship with other believers instead of fake relationships, dishonest relationships. As we talked about last week, John sees a connection between our relationship with God and our relationship with others. We can clearly see the problem John has laid out for the people who try to cover their sins. This will only lead to problems and living a dishonest life of walking in darkness. If we are not to cover our sins, what should we do? We can see our second approach. The second approach to sin is we can confess our sins. We confess our sins. We find this in verse 7 and 9. Verse 7 says, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." And verse 9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." We also have to look at 1 John 2, verses 1 and 2. I'll read those. "My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." In these two verses, we find two titles given to Jesus Christ: advocate and propitiation. It's important to understand these two titles because they stand for two ministries that only Jesus himself can perform. So first, let's look at propitiation. The word historically is defined as to appease someone who is angry. To appease someone who is angry. This is not the picture we want to paint of our holy, loving God. This could look like we have an angry God about to destroy the world, but a loving Savior gives himself to appease this irate God. This is not the biblical picture of salvation at all. Yes, God is angry at sin, but the Bible tells us God so loved the world. It does not tell us God so hated the world. No, he loved the world. So the word propitiation does not mean the appeasing of an angry God. Rather, it means the satisfying of God's holy law. God is light. Therefore, he cannot turn a blind eye to sin. But God is love and wants to save sinners. So then how can a holy God uphold his own justice and still forgive sinners? Jesus Christ, our propitiation. The answer is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ at the cross. At the cross, God in his holiness judged sin. God in his love offers Jesus Christ to the world as Savior. God was just for punishment of sin, but he is also loving in that he offers forgiveness through Jesus and his work on the cross. Jesus Christ is the sacrifice for the sins of the world, but he is also the advocate for believers. The second term used is advocate. The word advocate used to be applied to lawyers. It literally means one called alongside. When someone was called to court, they would take an advocate, a lawyer, with them to stand at their side and plead their case. The word John uses for advocate is the same word Jesus used when he was talking about the coming of the Holy Spirit. Jesus finished his work on earth, giving his life as a sacrifice for sin. And today, he has another work. He represents us before God's throne. He sympathizes with our weakness and temptations and gives us grace as our advocate. He helps us when we sin, When we confess our sin to God, because of Christ's advocacy, God forgives us. With Jesus as our advocate, he represents us before God's throne. And the merits of his sacrifice make possible the forgiveness of the believer's sin. Because Christ died for his people, he satisfied the justice of God. The wages of sin is death. Because he lives for us at God's right hand, he can apply his sacrifice to our needs day by day. All he asks is that when we have failed, when we do sin, we confess our sin. What does it mean to confess? It's much more than simply admitting. One commentary had this to say about confession. Confession is not praying a lovely prayer or making pious excuses or trying to impress God and other Christians. True confession is naming sin, calling it by name what God calls it: envy, hatred, lust, deceit, or whatever it may be. Confession simply means being honest with ourselves and with God. And if others are involved, being honest with them too. It is more than just admitting sin. It means judging sin and facing it squarely. We have a great promise in verse 9. When we confess our sin, God promises to forgive us. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. John then goes on to say in that verse, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He is interested in cleansing us inwardly so that we do not just continually sin because we know we will be forgiven. If we confess, and when should we confess? We should confess immediately when we sin. We have seen people try to cover their sin and live a lie, walking in darkness rather than light. We know this will not work because God's light reveals the truth. We have then seen we will sin as we all are fallen, sinful people. But when we sin, instead of covering our sin, we have an advocate and a propitiation in Jesus Christ, and we must confess that sin. And if we are sincere in our confession of sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. That brings us to the last way to look at sin. First, we saw that we can try to cover our sin. Secondly, we can confess our sin. And now thirdly, we can conquer our sin. Let's look at chapter 2, verses 3 through 6. And by this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Then also, 1 John 2 and verse 1 says, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, the secret of victory over sin is found in the phrase, walk in the light. To walk in the light means to be open and honest, to be exposed, to be sincere. It is very sad that churches have been invaded by insincere people. As we talked about last week, the danger of churches are the false teachers from within, not people from outside the church, but from inside. To walk in the light means to be honest with God, with ourselves, and with others. It means that when light reveals sin to us, we immediately confess it to God and claim his forgiveness. And if our sin injures another person, we must ask their forgiveness as well. Walking in the light also means obeying God's word. We see this in verse 3 and 4. We must spend time learning God's word so we can obey what he has told us. Obedience to God's word is proof of our love for him. A believer is to obey his heavenly Father because he wants to. For the relationship between him and God is one of love. Mature Christians listen to God's word and obey it simply because they love him. We are to walk in the light because we are to follow the example of Christ. As we see from verse 6, whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Jesus Christ is not only the propitiation for our sins and the advocate who represents us before God, but he is also the perfect pattern for our daily life. This has extremely practical applications in our daily life. What should a believer do when another believer sins against him? The answer is that believers should forgive one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. No matter what area of life it may be, our responsibility is to do what Jesus would do, ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. God has made provisions for us in these ways to conquer sin. We can never lose or change the sin nature that we have been born with, but we do not need to obey its desires. As we walk in the light and see sin as it actually is, we will hate it and turn from it. And when we sin, for we know as long as we are here in this fallen, sinful world, we will sin, we know immediately to confess to God and claim his cleansing and forgiveness. This all begins with openness and honesty before God and before men. The moment we start to act apart, the moment we start to pretend, the moment we try to cover our sin, we step out of the light and into darkness. But before we can walk in light and follow Christ's example, we must take that first step of faith and trust in him for our salvation. John makes it clear that the life that is real has no love for sin. We are not to try to cover our sin, but a true believer will confess his sin and tries to conquer it by walking in the light, God's word. We must not be content simply to know we are going to heaven. When we take that first step of faith, no, now we must walk. We must progress in our Christian walk. As we live this life of faith, we can't give into contentment and complacency. But we must walk. We must keep moving to Christ. With each step we take, we are growing closer to him. We are learning more about him. And in turn, we are living a life that is more honoring to him. Walk in the light as he is in the light. Are you walking in the light today? Or are you trying to cover your sin, trying to justify your sin, trying to minimize your sin? Or are you confessing your sin immediately and claiming the promise that he will forgive and cleanse you and help you to conquer your sin? We know we will never be perfect people, but we must be people who let the light of God's word dwell in our hearts and live so we become so sensitive to sin that we hate it and live a life of obedience to him. Walk in the light as he is in the light. Let's pray this morning. Lord, our Heavenly Father, this morning we pray that we would be walking in the light, not in darkness. Lord, help us to hate sin. Help us to turn from sin and turn to you. Lord, help us to follow your example and walk in the light. Lord, help us not to be people to minimize sin, but to hate sin. Lord, I pray that we would be a people that when we do fall, when we do stumble, we would immediately confess and immediately know that we are forgiven and cleansed through you. Lord, I pray that as we continue on our walk of our Christian life, that every day we would be taking steps closer to you, that we would be walking in your light, living a life of faith that is honoring to you. And Lord, we know we can only do this through your grace. And Lord, today we ask for your grace as we leave here today to continue to live a life of faith. Lord, we pray this in your name. Amen. At this time,